of how do you know when you have a healthy relationship with someone? And I like to define that as you always have a sense of us, U.S. I always say this way, take two to make an us, one to kill it. If you and I give to the us, we'll have it in the relationship and we'll also feel the connection. If I do something that harms you, there'll be a breakdown in us. So two to make an us, one to kill it. Requires humility, by the way.
Yeah.
So there's four things that I've identified over the years that if you become this way as a way of being, you have these four traits as a way of being, you'll protect every relationship you have. The first is you gotta operate with goodwill.
Okay.
One of the things I had to learn to do was treat my wife with goodwill, treat people with goodwill. When you're wounded, you don't know you're treating people with ill will.
Yeah.
And if you wanna sow discord,
hurt people?
In a sense it is, but this is really more of that, I want something, so I'm gonna use you in order to get what I want, or I'm not getting what I want, so I'm gonna punish you, all right?
Wow.
And so goodwill means I want to make sure that whatever I do always seeks your best. It's about benevolence. So if I know that I'm treating you with goodwill, then I know that I'm loving, because love never operates with ill will towards somebody. The second key word is respect. Now, respect is about honoring and valuing someone.
Oh, it's so big.
All right, now, think of it this way. If you're talking and I keep cutting you off, interrupt you, because I want to say something.
Yeah.
To interrupt someone when they're talking is disrespectful.
Sure.
Here's what I've learned. Love always treats people with goodwill and respect. Always. And so I ask myself, is the way I'm treating my kids, the way I'm treating Luella, is the way that I'm treating you or someone else, am I goodwill and I'm having respect with them? If I knew that I was, then I knew at least in terms of what I brought to the relationship, I'm treating you with goodwill and respect. I knew I was loving.
Yeah.
The third word was humility. Now, we don't like that word a lot, or we think we know that word, but here's what I've learned. Only mature adults can live a life of humility. Immature people cannot.
Explain.
All right. So two books I can think of right now, Ben Sasse's book, The Vanishing American Adult, and the second is The Death of the Grown-Up by Diana West. Both books point out very clearly that what we have mostly in the West right now is emotional children raising children. We are an adolescent nation at the emotional level. Look at how we deal with conflict.
Yeah.
Mature adults deal with conflict a very separate way. So since we have mostly emotional children raising children, you wonder why our culture is collapsing?
Sure, sure.
Because maturity requires emotional development. You can be a brilliant person, but very immature.
Yeah.
I, when I got married, was an emotional child. In our curriculum, we actually talk about what is an emotional infant, what is an emotional child, what is an emotional adolescent, and what does a mature adult look like?
So you could be 70 years old.
And still a child.
But if you were to explain to me culture today, because it's crazy out there.
Think of it this way, all right? When you see people who've been hurt or offended, and they deal with that hurt or offense by hitting, throwing things, burning things, whatever. Think about it. What age hits when they're hurt? What age throws things? It's a child. Mature adults don't throw things. Children throw things. Children say, you're not gonna tell me what to do. That's a teenager. Adolescents live that way. That was my father. I love my dad, but he was an emotional adolescent when he died. And so the adolescent says, you don't tell me what to do. Example, the number one reason college freshman males are dropping out of college the first year is video game addiction. Why? They have not learned maturity to deal with responsibilities in life. They're still irresponsible, which is what children and adolescents are. And so you see this pervasive emotional adolescence. Yeah. So in reality, when I started learning this 30 years ago, I was an emotional child acting like an adult. That's what I really was. But the more I did it, because I was passionate about becoming that, I became that man over time. And the last one is empathy.
Define that though, I'm sorry.
Empathy is...
There's sympathy and there's empathy, there's a difference, right?
All right, sympathy is I feel sorry for you.
Okay.
Most people don't want you to feel sorry for them. Empathy means I can step into your shoes and feel what you feel.
Okay.
I get a sense of how it is for you and I care.
Okay.
And one thing I think our listeners need to realize is when you send the message that you care how it is for someone, remember, it doesn't mean you agree with them. That's important.
Nice.
Caring how it is for someone does not mean agreement.
Got it.
That's just a validation of your experience.
Got it.
But out here, and I call it out here in life and time in the real world, no, I don't agree.
Yeah.
Because there's other factors involved.
But that's an important one.
Yes. So if you want to think of it, and our graphic is you have us in the middle to protect an us,
okay,
goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. A breakdown in any one of those four will harm a relationship. Relationships on your work team, if your work team is disrespectful to each other, you're going to have problems. Why? You're breaking down relationships.
Got it.
If you operate with ill will towards each other, or you as the boss have ill will to your team, your followers, they're not going to trust you.
No, they're not going to respect you.
Exactly.
You're
operating in pride, not humility.
Yeah. I was told managers are people you have to follow. Leaders are people you want to follow.
Very much so.
Is that right?
In our corporate program, we actually lay out real in detail, this is what a manager is, this is what a leader is.